All right. Okay. I'm presenting this Mali Water and Disability Study for Ray Norman. He's the dean of the School of Science and Engineering, Health at Messiah. And I also worked with him for 2 years on this project, too, so I'm pretty familiar with it. And I traveled to Mali with him a couple times to work on this. And also Nate Camben, who's our new project manager, put this presentation together. The study that we've been doing this study now.
Guidelines, methods, and locally fabricated technologies developed by the study be appropriately transferred to other geographic and ethnic regions of West Africa? How can NGOs working in water and sanitation be informed and equipped to assess the needs and challenges of the disabled? How can workshops, community mobilization initiatives, and information exchange best be leveraged in the planning and implementation phases of water and sanitation initiatives to ensure appropriate inclusion of the disabled? How do water and sanitation initiatives such as WALWI assess what levels of special investment are appropriate when it comes to assisting the disabled in broader target communities? These are a few of the challenging issues to which the Mali Water and Disability Study is working to contribute answers. In its continuing role of support for WALWI's mission of providing safe water and sanitation in poor communities, the study seeks to assure that the most marginalized members of target communities also benefit from this important initiative. For the disabled, this is accomplished by the creation of enabling environments, which are not only healthy and safe, but also play an important role in helping them become active, participating members of society. When this is accomplished, those things the poor need most are likely to follow: an enhanced sense of self-worth, restored human dignity, and hope for a better future.
Okay. So I think if I stopped there, we'd be good, but of course I have to keep going. Is that showing up right now? Okay. So I wanted to touch on a few details that were not present in the video, but the video certainly does do a good job capturing everything. So the first year we spent... First of all, doing a formal survey collecting data. Nobody knew what types of disabilities, how many people had these disabilities. We had no data on this at all. So we surveyed over 900 households. We had native persons who also had disabilities, like this woman here, Albine, do some of the survey, and then World Vision workers, and then also ourselves. Then later on, we got together with the persons with physical disabilities at different villages and had informal focus groups discussions with them to learn more about what their needs are. So we can't do everything, but we tried to pick the ones that were the most prevalent and disabilities that were the most prevalent and focus on them. And from that, then, we developed our research priorities, and then the students went ahead and did all the R&D work. We would develop prototypes, bring them over, leave them in the field for 6 months, go back during those 6 months, work on the next iteration, and then go back and collect data and survey information on the original prototypes we had, and then leave the other prototypes, and we kept doing this over and over again at our different site visits. If you wanted to read our reports from the first 3 years, we have this lovely booklet, and it's also online if you wanted to take a peek at some of the things that we did. So some of the things that came out of this, first and foremost, we developed our own and we used a participatory development process. The disabled were involved from the very beginning and they are involved until the very end. And I think that was really key for a study like this. We worked on three different assistive technologies. We worked on the hand pumps. We worked on the domestic use of water, such as the things to lift the buckets and then to pour it out, and then also the latrines. One thing that's really exciting about this is all of the work that we've done and the guidelines we've come up with are going to be used by World Vision throughout all of West Africa for their water, sanitation, and hygiene, the WASH initiatives. And so villages all over, World Vision workers all over will get these guidelines and use them. So it's not just our little village, it's going to be throughout West Africa. And finally, what we're working on now is workshop modules to train the World Vision workers in our technologies. So really quickly, three things that came out of this. We worked on modifying the pump superstructures to make them more accessible. They had steps, we put in ramps. They had uncomfortable handles. We put in more comfortable handles on the end so that they can grasp them better. And we put in a seat so that people with lower limb disabilities could sit comfortably and pump their water. We looked at home use of water, domestic use. Have you ever tried to lift 15 liters of water, put it on your head, carry it for a mile, put it down, and then pour it out? I can barely lift the thing. I'm standing there trying to get it up over my head. Okay, so imagine you have a missing use of an arm and you still have to do that. So we worked on better ways to transport the containers and then finally to handle the water once you got home. And all these materials are locally available. We use things like rebar, wood, whatever's around we use, and then we train the local artisans how to make these and they can sell them. And then finally, we worked on latrine seats. You want to have a lesson in cultural sensitivity. You sit down and talk to somebody and ask them how they clean themselves after defecation. It's a very interesting conversation. I can't speak French, so I was glad to stay out of that conversation. But Ray did a fabulous job. They were happy, actually, to discuss their habits. We can design different latrine seats and whether or not they like to clean themselves from the front or from the back. And then again, we can have seats made out of metal, which are usually pretty expensive, or wood, which, you know, will do at least in the short term anyway. And then we could have the permanent clay seats too. Some other outcomes that we didn't look for, but were probably some of the most important. First was that we became advocates of these. The word handicapped people is actually correct to use. They're actually so that. That's sometimes what they call them, the handicapé. And so, like I said, they were invisible people. Even the World Vision workers didn't really know that these people were present in their communities. And so when we had these workshops and all these people came to meet with us, they were amazed and they were astounded that these people with these great needs were there. And so we, I think now they will pay more attention and focus more of their energy towards helping these people. And even the local community, the tribal chiefs, etc., their eyes were open to the fact that these people had value and they needed to be helped out. And lastly, Mali is a predominantly Muslim country. You can't go in there with your Bible and stand on the street corner and do your preaching. It has to be a lot more subtle if you don't want to be arrested. So this would open the door for opportunities. Why are you helping these people? Well, this is a reflection of our beliefs and in our God, and that He values human life regardless of your state of ability or disability. And then we work to restore then their dignity and their hope to people in these communities. So that is it, and I'll take your questions on this one.